Since 2006, Democrat incumbent Kathleen Vinehout has represented the 31st Senate District. Last year, she announced that she was leaving her seat to enter the race for governor. And in her wake, five candidates have entered the race for the 31st State Senate District seat, three Democrats, one Green Party candidate, and one Republican. This hour, we speak with those three Democrats who will face one another in the primary August 14th, with the winner facing Republican Mel Pittman and Green Party candidate Aaron Camacho on November 6th. This is The West Side. I'm Dean Kallenbach, filling in for Rich Kramer, who is covering an appearance by Governor Walker this morning regarding what the governor's office has billed as a major investment in the Chippewa Valley by Taiwanese manufacturer Foxconn. And if possible, we'll try to get an update from Rich sometime during this hour on the occurrences in downtown Eau Claire earlier this morning. Before we meet the candidates, let's take a closer look at the 31st State Senate District. It includes much of western Eau Claire County, including most of the city of Eau Claire, as well as the southern third or so of Dunn County, most of Pierce County outside of River Falls, most of Trempealeau County outside of Osseo, western Jackson County, and all of Pepin and Buffalo counties. It's considered one of Wisconsin's swing districts that favored Barack Obama in 2012 and Donald Trump in 2016. So now let's meet the candidates. In the studio, we have the candidates for the Democratic primary in the 31st Senate District. John Schultz of Arcadia, welcome to the West Side.
Hello.
We have Steve Bow of Taylor as well. Steve Bow, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Jeff Smith of Eau Claire is here as well. Jeff
Glad
Smith.
To be here, Dean. Thank you.
Good to have you all. And if you want to join the conversation, share a comment, or ask a question of the candidates, give us a call at 800-228-5615. 800-228-5615. Let's start with a basic question. Jeff Smith, we'll start with you. Talk about why you're running and why you feel you're qualified for the position.
Well, Dean, I'm running because our future is at stake in Wisconsin, and it's something that has has been concerning me for a long time. As you know, I was in the Assembly before, and it wasn't that I needed a title or a career. I am here to continue to fight for my children's future. That's why I'm running.
All right. Thank you much. John Schultz, same question. Why are you qualified for the position, and what's your motivation for running for the position?
You bet. I'm definitely concerned about the representation of our district. I serve on the Trempealeau County Board. I'm entering my third term here this spring. And in the middle of that, I also served on the town board of Arcadia, which is one of the larger rural towns. Definitely represents what some people call a moderate or swing area of our district, but I prefer to consider our region independent, and I feel I reflect moderate, balanced views on a number of nonpartisan issues that I feel the Republicans are on the wrong side of.
That was John Schultz. Steve Bow, if you'd like to, please talk to us about why you're running and what your qualifications are.
You bet. Well, one of the reasons why I'm running is I think of people like myself. Grew up in a small town here in western Wisconsin, went off and got a four-year degree, additional education, and then left for a little bit. Worked at the Capitol for about 2.5 years for State Representative Mark Radcliffe, and decided to come back home. And we need more of that energy. We do a great job here locally in regards to our schools and educating students, and we need to encourage people to come back home, start those new businesses. We have a lot of challenges here in western Wisconsin in regards to roads, bridges, infrastructure, broadband, healthcare, but we also have tremendous opportunity, and I want to help take on those challenges to invite people to come back home and make a living and a life here in western Wisconsin.
John Schultz, what do you see are the top issues facing the district and the state as a whole?
Well, you know, I've grown up in Wisconsin. I love this state, and I think everyone listening and everyone in the studio loves this state. We're very unique. I've always cared very deeply about conservation, you know, and that's all ranges of land use issues. Care very deeply about education. Some of our most important lessons happen outside of the classroom. That's important to remember. You know, and when we do those two things well on a foundation of local control and clean, honest government, then Wisconsin does well for everyone. And, you know, and I just feel, frankly, with the spate of issues we've had in Trempealeau County, I'm literally in the middle of a lot of the issues that are central to this debate.
Steve Bow, you mentioned some issues in your opening statement, but any others that jump out at you as ones that are important to the district?
Yeah, well, when I'm out and about talking with folks, a lot of the things that I hear are kind of meat and potatoes issues. You know, I hear a lot of conversation regards to about roads. And unfortunately, with roads, it's a two-pronged issue. Number one, it's not that the locals, and I'm talking about towns and counties, it's not that they haven't wanted to fix the roads. It's that their ability to fix the roads has been an issue, both in regards to the funding level that's come from the state has, you know, just not met pace with what it costs to repair roads. And then on the flip side, they've tied their arms in regards to levy limits and their ability to raise funds. And so, I mean, when I talk with locals in the district, a lot of them just want the authority. I mean, that's why we elect local people, is because they're the ones that are on the ground level to be able to know what is best needed in that area. And beyond infrastructure, obviously education. People want their kids and their family to have a good education. We're very fortunate here within Western Wisconsin to be able to have that. But we've also seen some challenges. When I first left the Capitol in 2011, there was an ag department by me that they had to leave or let go of their ag teacher. And so for 3 years, I helped keep that FFA going, because I come from an agriculture background and FFA is an important organization mm-hmm. for me. But those are the real effects of the cuts that we've seen in education is, you know, like an agriculture class is an elective class, does not need to be taught. And that goes for any sort of career and technical education. And the skills that are learned within those classrooms are critically important to the jobs that we have here within Western Wisconsin.
That was Steve Bowe. Jeff Smith, your question goes to you. What are the big issues of the district?
Well, the big issues, you can start with the fact that rural Wisconsin is being left behind. Every time I talk to someone, they're concerned that their public schools in the small towns are going to be closing. And what will that do? Devastate our small towns and villages in western Wisconsin. We're poisoning our water with what we're allowing deregulation of the DNR. I mean, we're ignoring the sciences. And so between sand mining and large factory farms in rural Wisconsin, we have to be concerned that we're going to end up like Kewaunee County, which almost 40% of their private wells are no longer drinkable. We also have to worry about healthcare access in rural Wisconsin. The further away we are from clinics, the more risk people are at. And we can handle some of these things, including broadband is really an issue in rural Wisconsin and totally being ignored. And if corporations obviously are going to be controlling that sort of access because of profits, we have to look at other ways, whether it be through our co-ops, whether it be through government, whatever it may be. We've got to make sure that all of our citizens in rural Wisconsin are being served through access for health care, access through broadband, and their public schools have to be served. And I have to agree with Steve, local control is huge. Local control is huge. We are a state. In our Constitution, it reads that we are a local control state. We are, and yet it's totally ignored. We've got a legislature and leadership right now. Over the last 6-7 years, they have passed legislation 130 times that have cut into local control, and they're not allowing local officials to do their job. I agree with that. We need to respect people who are elected in local positions to be able to raise the levy when they need it. They know what they need, especially, I tell you, towns and cities and counties. Most of their taxes are levied for roads and transportation. Let them do their job.
We're speaking with the Democratic candidates in the 31st Senate District of Western Wisconsin, and they are all competing for a spot on the ballot this fall against Republican Mel Pittman and the Green Party candidate Aaron Camacho. The candidates we're speaking with today, John Schultz, Steve Bowe, and Jeff Smith. Steve Bowe, next question for you to start with, if we could. How do you differentiate yourself in a Democratic primary with three candidates, all with governmental experience? Mm-hmm. How do you differentiate yourself from your competitors, and why should voters choose you?
Well, I believe that I'm a strong candidate in regards to that I come from a rural area, and two-thirds of the district is a rural area. So I understand the unique challenges and opportunities that we have there. But I also believe that I can be a champion for the city of Eau Claire, because a strong Eau Claire is a strong Western Wisconsin. What I mean by that is, you know, like for our family, my mom for many, many years, we lived in a small town, but she drove to Eau Claire to work as a nurse practitioner. So that job in Eau Claire had an impact for us in a small town. And so a strong Eau Claire is incredibly important to our region as a whole. You know, we're blessed with, you know, universities, with the UW-Eau Claire, and just being a champion for those things that actually make us a great community here in Western Wisconsin.
Jeff Smith, how are you different from these other two candidates?
Well, I've had the experience. I've been there. I know what has to be done. We can't afford a training ground at this point. We are falling so far behind. We've got to get some. We need representation that's going to be bold, that's going to step up and be a leader in our legislature and make things happen. I've also had the great opportunity of not only representing when I was in there before gerrymandering took place. I did represent much of the city of Eau Claire and the surrounding area. And then beyond that, after gerrymandering, I campaigned in the 93rd, which is where I live. I actually live in the rural part of this district. And so I have great connections within the city of Eau Claire, where I grew up and graduated high school and ran a small business, and also all the rest of the 93rd, all the way through. So two-thirds of this district, I'm pretty well known. I think I can be the strongest candidate to hold this seat and to represent this area.
John Smith, how are you different than
John Schultz?
John Schultz, sorry. I knew I'd do that sometime down the line.
See, we combine the candidates.
Yeah. Just get the best of all of you. Yeah, John Schultz, how are you different than Jeff Smith or Steve Bowe?
Well, like Steve, I come from a rural background, and I respect, you know, the challenges of pursuing an education from a rural background is something I relate to. Probably my most challenging personal year was trying to be a part-time commuting student here at UW-Eau Claire. Frankly, that was a year that really made me have to acknowledge some of the challenges I was truly dealing with, and that's a concern with, you know, obviously with education and costs of tuition increases. But, you know, in terms of differentiation, I've dealt with CAFL applications and sand mines as a Trumbull County Board supervisor. You know, when we talk about unfunded mandates and local control and levy limits, I deal with that. I've made road decisions. I've rated roads. I've decided which bridges get fixed and which dead-end roads do and do not get paved. So I feel my experience is relevant to the issues that we have.
You're listening to the 31st Senate primary candidate debate on Wisconsin Public Radio here on the West Side. I'm Dean Kallenbeck. I'm joined by three Democratic candidates competing in the August 14th primary election. The winner will take on Green Party candidate Aaron Camacho and Republican Mel Pittman on November 6th. When we return, we'll hear more from Steve Bowe, Jeffrey Smith, and John Schultz. We'll also hear from Rich Kramer, who just has returned from the announcement this morning about Foxconn, and we'll get him on to tell us more about that. So this is The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Football season is coming soon, and with that, a renewed conversation about the long- and short-term effects of concussions. Larry Mueller and his guests talk about head injuries coming up at 11 on the Ideas Network. The current state senator from the 31st District, Kathleen Vineout, is running for governor in that crowded field of Democrats vying on the August 14th primary. The candidacy has caused five candidates to run in the hopes of replacing her in the Senate. They include Republican Mel Pittman of Plum City and Aaron Camacho, a Green Party candidate from Fountain City. They also running are the three Democrats in our studio today, hoping to win their own primary next month. I'm Dean Kallenbeck, and with me on the West Side are Jeff Smith of Eau Claire, John Schultz of Arcadia, and Steve Bowe of Taylor. Your chance to speak directly with the candidates, give us a call at 800-228-5615. Our lines are full right now, and we will get to you the phone calls shortly. But first, Rich Kramer joins us from WPR's Eau Claire newsroom. Rich, you were downtown with Governor Walker and Foxconn execs in Eau Claire this morning for an announcement. What did they announce?
They announced that Foxconn will be investing in two buildings in downtown Eau Claire. The idea is to create a technology hub and a business incubator for high-tech startups. They will be purchasing for locals to Eau Claire the Graham Building, and then they're also going to be locating another facility inside the Haymarket Plaza, which is it has been built. It's part of the Confluence Project on the confluence of the Chippewa and the Eau Claire Rivers. The plan is to hire about 150 people. The acquisition of the properties is happening right now, I'm told, and they hope to have the properties acquired by the end of this year, and they hope to begin operations early next year.
Rich, any sense of how many jobs this involves and what kind of jobs they'll be?
Well, they mentioned 150, and that had been kind of teased out by one of the company officials last week. That, I assume, will be in the technology hub. I had asked for more information on what that means. Well, it's going to be kind of R&D, basically, research and development into some of their 8K and 5G technologies for screens and for wireless technology. And other than that, of course, there will be some spillover jobs in terms of renovating the facilities to what extent they need.
Governor Walker's taken some heat from local governmental leaders saying the Foxconn deal really only serves southeastern Wisconsin. Did he address that criticism at all this morning? Rich?
Yeah, he absolutely did. He mentioned that quite a lot today. Basically said that this is proof, this latest development is proof that he or that the company is investing all across the state. We also heard about the announcement not too long ago in Green Bay. I asked Alan Young, who is the director of the U.S. operations for Foxconn, basically. I asked him if this would be the northernmost outpost for Foxconn, and he said he did not know. With kind of a sheepish grin, Governor Walker kind of alluded to the fact that there would be more investments, whether directly or just kind of supply chain. Basically said other companies, other parts of the state will be benefiting from this.
Rich, how soon will Foxconn Place, Chippewa Valley, be open?
Well, the company expects it to be open, they said 2019 to begin operations. They didn't have a firm date, and I'm not sure what kind of contingencies could happen to either speed that up or slow it down, but that's when they mentioned, early 2019.
And, Rich, I'm sure you'll have some reports on this on WPR News as the day goes along.
Absolutely.
Rich Kramer, thank you for joining us on the show you normally host.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
All right. That's Rich Kramer talking about the announcement about Foxconn made earlier today in downtown Eau Claire. Let's turn back to our candidates for the 31st Senate District on the Democratic side. They're running in the primary on August 14th for the chance to run in the general election in November. Jeff Smith, let's talk. Let's start with you. The state has given a multi-billion-dollar incentive package to Foxconn to build a manufacturing plant in southeastern Wisconsin. Does this announcement change where you are on that whole spectrum of that particular deal?
No, it confirms what I've thought all along. It's a political ploy. It has always been a political ploy. $4.5 billion tax dollars, and yet our roads are falling apart. And we all were on a tour recently where the transportation people told us it would cost $4 billion to repair our roads up to standard. Isn't that a coincidence? And so instead of helping our current local entrepreneurs and businesses and workers with our own roads that we pay taxes for, they're pouring this money into a foreign company who's then, it's very obvious, and we were talking outside the room here that, you know, Governor Walker's just sending them signals. Well, open one in Fox Valley. That's where I'll need votes. Open one in Chippewa Valley because that's where I'll need some votes. And it's a shame and a sham, and I'm really think it's corruption at the highest level in Wisconsin.
John Schultz, 150 jobs and presumably fairly high-skilled jobs. Where are you on the Foxconn, both on the announcement this morning but on the general deal on Foxconn?
Right. March 7th was the DNR state water hearing down in the Racine area. With the local issues that we saw related to sand mining in Trumbull County, I just found it very personally interesting, so I made the trip to listen to that hearing. back to Eau Claire, you know, Eau Claire's already got a formula that's working. You know, that's what we saw in my hometown in Arcadia that came to some of the concerns with sand mining. It's, you know, it's important to remember that economies thrive in places where people want to live and where they want to spend their time. The job creators, you know, are the citizens, are the consumers. So it's important to remember that. We heard promises about jobs, you know, throughout this region related to sand mining. And some of those companies fulfilled those promises and some did not. You know, there are also promises about other investments in communities, you know, hospitals and clinics and ponds and swimming pools. And some of those happened. Some of those did not. Foxconn itself as a company, they have a reputation of really not fulfilling promises. So it's hard to give a lot of credence to this. Basically, frankly, this press release and the news today, it literally follows like Scott Walker and Foxconn are following the campaign script that Hillary Clinton probably should have followed in terms of where they're visiting and making announcements. So I'll just say that.
Okay. Steve Bo, what's your position on the Foxconn deal?
Well, I would agree with Jeff and John, and I would also just like to add in regards to the eminent domain that was used for this project. Mm-hmm. It sets a terrible precedence within this state in regards to your house, no matter what it looks like, you could have just built it. But the fact that at any moment your government could say, we're going to deem that blighted, we're going to bulldoze it down, not because we're going to build a highway or a road that'll be beneficial to everybody, but we're going to give it to a private entity, not only a private entity, a foreign private company, to build a business. And I just think that is the wrong precedence to set within this state, that we are going to take fantastic farmland, homes, good homes, and then just bulldoze those down to give it to a private entity.
You're listening to our conversation with the candidates for the Democratic primary August 14th in the 31st State Senate District here in western Wisconsin. Our phone lines are full, and our callers have been patiently waiting. Let's start with Anna from Eau Claire. Anna, thanks for waiting, and go ahead and ask your question. Anna, are you still with us? She didn't wait as patiently as we thought. Let's move now to Austin and Mondovi. Austin, go ahead. Austin, go ahead.
I'm a recent college grad, and all my friends moved away. I was wondering, my question would be, how do we get young people back into western Wisconsin? I think that's very important. Thank you.
John Schultz, you want to start with that one?
Yeah, it's a concern that relates to me as well. You know, staying committed to your hometown is something I congratulate you for. You know, something that's been a major commitment for myself, too. In Trumbull County, you know, related to where people stood on elections and our town land use plans and county land use plans, we expanded our parks committee to include tourism and economic development, and it's a fine model for basically some of our rural counties. I would encourage them to pursue. And a lot of it is about trying to create and allow more amenities and diverse growth that is in harmony with our current landowners, our current residents, the initial investors in our community. But it's a big challenge in rural areas throughout the United States, and the solutions aren't going to be simple. And it's going to be about creating a diversity of jobs, maintaining a nice quality lifestyle in a rural community for people like yourselves to continue to invest in.
And Steve Bo, it's kind of an interesting aspect of this particular district in that essentially a third of the district population-wise is the city of Eau Claire, and the other two-thirds is quite rural. I mean, if you do live in a city, it's not a big city.
No.
As a person hoping to represent that region, you know, how do you keep the young people? How do you bring the young people back?
Well, we have a lot of great things here within the 31st Senate District. You mentioned the rural areas, but part of those rural areas are the beautiful bluffs that we have over in the Buffalo and in Pierce and Pepin County, down in Trempealeau as well. We have great just opportunities here within the 31st in regards to what we have to offer with schools, with our events and activities, and that still having access to the city of Eau Claire and the great things that they do. You know, when I talk with folks back in the rural areas, one of the things that is definitely a concern for them that they don't have, you know, you have it here in Eau Claire, would be the broadband. As Jeff alluded to earlier, such a critical role, not only in regards to quality of life, But, you know, a lot of people are having the opportunity to work from home. But that's contingent based upon having access to high-quality, high-speed internet. Also, a lot of us like to watch Netflix or Hulu, and so streaming is an important part. And so I talked with a realtor, and that he said one of the very top questions that he gets asked when people are looking at purchasing property in the rural areas is, what is the access to high-speed internet? And not only broadband, but you think about cell phone reception. It all depends on which cooling and which valley you're in, on whether you have it or whether you don't. And so there are some of those amenities that in the urban area, like the city of Acosta and Eau Claire, that we take for granted, that we can do better at in the rural areas to make that quality of life just as high.
Jeff Smith, let's turn to you. How are you going to keep them down on the farm? Is the old song, but even in the city, how do you keep them in the city? City of Eau Claire's had some success with this most recently, we understand, but what about the rest of the district?
Well, Steve is listening to me. I appreciate that because that is the answer. I think who wouldn't want to live in this district? I think we're vying to represent the most beautiful district in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. The Great River Road is considered by many and has been rated the most beautiful drive in the United States. We have the bluffs, we have the hills, we have this beautiful area to cover. And why wouldn't anyone want to live there if they could? And it does come down to access to broadband and access to other amenities that are possible. But when you have corporate interests controlling that for profit, they're just running right by. I live between Eau Claire and Mondovi, and I can't get adequate internet, and I have to drive into Eau Claire to be able to go to an office where I can actually work and make and get connected. So I understand that that's the new economy, and I would argue with people of older generations from you that might not think that much about it, that, look, if you want your children and grandchildren to stay here or to move back here, you're going to have to invest in broadband expansion. And I think we can do that through our electric co-ops. I think that's the answer, because the big corporations just aren't going to do it.
Austin drops off. Your opportunity is now open to call 800-228-5615 to join our conversation with the Democratic candidates in the 31st Senate District of Wisconsin. Let's go now to Eleanor from Eau Claire. Eleanor, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about the Farm Bureau Federation, which has a very conservative pro-business record, backing big factory farms in court cases that are initiated by smaller neighbor farms. And also, the Farm Bureau lobbies extensively against regulations that would protect groundwater, lakes, and streams from manure pollution. So I'm getting to the point here. I'm asking Steve Bowe, who's currently working for the Farm Bureau and who's worked for the Farm Bureau for the past 7 years, if elected, what additional stronger state regulations would he support to protect our groundwater and lakes and streams from the huge quantities of manure produced and spread on the land by these industrial-sized dairy and hog farms? Steve, and I would like to hear the others comment also.
Certainly. Thank you, Eleanor. Steve Bowe, you're local affairs director, I believe, mm-hmm. for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau. To Eleanor's question, where do you stand on that? Those issues?
Sure. Well, that's a great question. And I obviously have some policy differences within Farm Bureau. I worked for a Democrat prior to working with Farm Bureau. But in regards to specifically her question about protecting the water, I believe, number one, we need to reverse what Governor Walker has done with the DNR. Part of our problem is that we don't have the workforce within DNR to adequately maintain and make sure that people are following the rules that have been set for them. And so that is step number one, is to make sure that we have the correct personnel within the DNR to make sure that people are following the rules which have been set in place. And that will do a great service to all people within the state of Wisconsin. We also look at what's happened as Jeff has mentioned before, Kewaunee County, with the issues that we've seen over there. Looking at revisions to NR 151, which is NR 151 is statutes in regards to nutrient management, basically manure spreading. Looking at the depth to bedrock and where you can actually apply those nutrients. And I was supportive of those changes within NR 151 that we've seen on the eastern side of the state. So we can do more, not only in regards to make sure that we have safe drinking water, but we can do more to make sure that people are following the rules that we have in place. Furthermore, I've also worked with farmers here in western Wisconsin. DACAP has these farmer-led watershed grants. And so I've worked with two groups of farmers, one in Tremple County, one in Buffalo County, where the farmers have gotten together in specific watersheds to institute things like cover crops, looking at no-till. You know, from a farmer's perspective, any time that they can keep those nutrients on the field, that's a good day, because at the end of the day, they would rather those nutrients go into the crop that they're growing as opposed to runoff. And so those are some of the projects that I've been working on to make sure and to help farmers keep those nutrients on the field where they're best used.
Jeff Smith, regarding agriculture and environment, it's always a balancing act to have food production, agriculture, and maintain the environmental protection. Where is Wisconsin now and what needs to happen?
Well, we're in trouble. You know, farmers are in trouble. We know that. And CAFOs are not the answer. We don't need to expand or CAFOs. We don't need thousands of animals on one property and then try to figure out what we're going to do with their waste. Consider the fact that in Dunn County, when the Cranberry Creek CAFO was expanded, it's equivalent, 6,000 animal units is equivalent to 130,000 human beings in waste. And yet they're not expected to have a waste, they're not treating their waste treatment plant. That should be the sort of thing we do. But what I would argue is that we need a moratorium statewide. This is a crisis that's waiting to happen. You could see that hog farms are starting to apply in Chippewa County and probably in Eau Claire County they'll be coming, and you never know where they're coming out of Iowa, because they have poisoned 70% of the waterways there already, and they need to move on because of the airborne disease that going from farm to farm, so they're moving them up here. We've got to stop that, get a moratorium in place, and figure out how we're going to protect what we already talked about being the most beautiful area in the country, much less just the state.
John Schultz, you have an ag background. Talk a little bit about where you are on the issues relating to the environment as it relates to agriculture.
Well, you bet. It's also economics. Economics and environment go hand in hand.
Sure.
My father was an ag finance guy, so I learned a lot about that firsthand. In Tremble County and throughout most of the region, most of our current CAFOs are what I would call growth CAFOs. You've got family farms that have become CAFOs and have expanded. My big concern, I agree with a moratorium on CAFOs, both for the various landscape and environment concerns. We got to deal with that water impact largely, but also the economic impact on farmers. It's just when demand is relatively flat, and we're allowing these pop-up CAFOs that are just starter CAFOs of 5,000 head. That's putting the squeeze on a 40-head operation. That's putting a squeeze on our 2,900 head operations that have grown over time as true family operations. When we're looking at the county level, we're looking at ordinances for a number of land use issues. In our committee, we have a couple pages of definitions. We need to define agricultural industry. We need to define family farming. We need to do that at the state level so that we can start implementing real programs that help real family farmers. And that's why a second reason to support a moratorium on CAFOs is literally the economic hardship that's being put on people who have really invested their lives. And, I hear people, all three of us do, people that are, they're losing hope, but the amount of optimism they still hang on to is quite humbling. And we got to do something about it.
It is, and I appreciate you mentioning the family farms. I think we do need to define what a family farm is, because every time we hear about a CAFO, they always want to say, we're just a family farm. Well, they're a family farm like the Waltons are a family business in Walmart, and every time one drops in, it just destroys the small mom-and-pop family farms that are around them, just as John just suggested.
The voice you just heard was Jeff Smith. Steve Bowen, John Schultz are with him. John Schultz, you had one more.
Yeah, I just want to appreciate the call, and I just want to affirm that my belief is really our failure for family farmers is a nonpartisan failure belonging to all people in politics. We've got to do better.
Wisconsin's partisan primary election is August 14th for residents in the 31st state Senate district. That's when they'll decide which of these three Democrats will go up against Green Party candidate Aaron Camacho and Republican candidate Mel Pittman in November. I'm Dean Kallenbach. More with Jeff Smith, Steve Bowe, and Jonathan Schultz when we return. Wisconsin's partisan primary election is on August 14th for residents in the 31st state Senate district. That's when they'll decide which of three Democrats will go up against Green Party candidate Aaron Camacho and Republican candidate Mel Pittman in November. It's one of a series of Wisconsin candidate debates that we're having here on the West Side over the next several Mondays. Welcome back. I'm Dean Kallenbach, filling in for Rich Kramer. I'm here with the three Democratic candidates for that August 14th primary ballot. They are Jonathan Schultz of Arcadia, Jeffrey Smith of Eau Claire, Steve Bowe of Taylor. And you can join us by calling 800-228-5615. The winner of the Democratic candidate primary will go up against two candidates in the November general election. We requested interviews with both of them to include in today's program. Mel Pittman, the Republican from Plum City, declined our requests, but Green Party candidate Aaron Camacho of Fountain City agreed. And West Side producer Molly Dove shares what Camacho believes to be the most important issues in the district.
Though equality, health care, and the environment are priorities for Aaron Camacho, she says the most pressing issue right now is the economy. She says she's concerned about taxpayer dollars being used to lure businesses to the state. Camacho says one example is the $4.5 billion incentive package promised to Taiwanese manufacturer Foxconn.
I agree that we need to be looking for business and attract people to create businesses here in our state, but why are we not encouraging our local community members to utilize the gifts that our state are so willing to give the big corporations?
Camacho says she is concerned with Enbridge Energy's Line 3 pipeline replacement. The company says it is looking to replace over 1,000 miles of pipeline from Alberta to Superior. If Line 3 leaks oil, Camacho says it would drain down the Mississippi River into her district.
We're allowing people to come in, take our water, take our land, but then impact our environment in a way that cannot be undone.
Camacho has lived in Buffalo County her whole life. As an Indigenous woman, she says she understands the need to use mutual respect, especially since the 31st Senate District is a melting pot of identities.
Our community has a diverse amount of demographics, whether that be socioeconomic or cultural. And without that mutual respect and understanding, there's not a level playing field in order for people to reach out, ask for help, and be comfortable enough to do so.
If elected, she says she'll use this perspective of diversity when looking at the major issues in her district, because without it, she says nothing will get done. Molly Dove, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And again, Mel Pittman, the Republican, declined our request to take part in that interview, although he has agreed to be in the general election forum that we'll have on this race later on in the summer. Jeff Smith, let's start with you. If you have a response to what you heard from Aaron Camacho. I'm also interested in kind of what this does in the race to have in the general election a Democrat, a Republican, and a Green Party in a district that has been Democrat from the standpoint of this particular Senate district, but we've seen it go for President Obama, we've seen it go for Donald Trump. Could a Green Party candidate damage the Democrats' chances in the fall?
Well, it's possible. It's very possible. Depending on if the message that Aaron brings to the table is strong. But I got to say that we just got to work hard. We're going to have to work really hard, make sure people know that my campaign particularly, I think that we have an opportunity to hang on to this seat and to be a strong leadership on the Democratic side. But you're right, Dean. I mean, there's a possibility that a Green Party candidate may cause a little harder work for us to be sure that we are out there doing the right thing.
John Schultz, she mentioned the Enbridge pipeline. Is that something that you've taken a position on?
Yeah, my work experience in northern Minnesota, I everything from mining reclamations to pipeline mitigation projects, Superfund sites. So I have a lot of respect for the issues that Aaron Camacho is bringing to this race. You know, as a minority woman, it's hard not to respect the courage she has in putting herself out there. You know, let's face it, we've got four white men in this room. You know, my father died when I was pretty young, and real quickly I learned, you know, what advantages I had, you know, both from expectations and, you know, I probably wouldn't be here today if I didn't look the way I look in the mirror because some of the second chances I've got because of my demographic qualifications, qualities, whatever you want to call them, they sure lend themselves to be qualifications. So she's going to bring something to the race. I guarantee you that. She's got energy.
Steve Bowe, your thoughts on the fall election and including where the Democrats lie when it comes to fitting in with the voters with a Green Party candidate and a Republican?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, as Jeff alluded to, that it needs to be taken seriously. And that's why I'm running to bring a new leadership and to take a different approach and to try to balance those needs of the rural areas and still being that champion for the city of Eau Claire. You know, we have to take every vote and work hard for that vote. And I just believe that I'm the best candidate to try to reach as many people and to be successful in the fall.
We go back to the phones if you'd like to talk to the candidates, ask a question, get an issue on the table. 800-228-5615. Looks like our last line just filled up, but keep trying. We'll go to the phones now with Liz in Eau Claire. And Liz, thanks for joining us on the West Side.
Hi there.
Go ahead, Liz.
Yes, can you hear me? Okay.
We can.
Well, good. Thanks. I'd like to drill down a little bit on the local control issue. All three of the candidates have spoken that they're in favor of local control, and the Republicans were too until they weren't. Let me add several examples in Eau Claire where our local control has been usurped by our state legislature where wasn't a living wage, but it was an increase in the minimum wage that was stopped by state legislature. Shoreline zoning was stopped by the state legislature. Plastic bag ban was stopped by the Republican state legislature. And we also face levy limits for local taxes, which limit what we can do for schools, for fixing our roads, and so on. For these specific issues, just pick one or two, and when you're faced with something, a real specific issue, and not just the feel-good words, local control, what would you really do? Would you support them if they came your way, or would you actively work for them?
John Schultz, you experienced this firsthand.
Oh, sure. You know, our county Supreme Court case that was decided last year basically began with a neighbor's potential project and rested a lot on public testimony that, you know, was largely initiated around my kitchen table. But the concern with that case is not just local control but attack on democracy. I mean, what the legislature's...
Do you want to specify a little more just for people who may not be aware of what
That was all energy versus Trumbull County, coming from a 2013 Trumbull County decision and went through the appeals court process and was decided last summer in 2017 in favor of the county 4-3. You know, and a big part of that case was simply the role of public testimony in the county's decision, and the resulting legislation was really trying to aim towards telling myself currently now as a land use committee member that I cannot consider public testimony in my decision, that I can't trust the wisdom of my constituents and my neighbors. So it's, you know, the issue, you know, with local control, and I think getting to the caller's question is, will we stand up for local control when it's not the local control we want? And I would say absolutely. I mean, I worked very hard on the town board and county board. It's about respecting the majority will of the people, you know, under what we're allowed to do under the law. But it's also about making sure the minority is respected, that they were listened to, and that their viewpoints aren't necessarily wrong, just that they're, you know, under the statutes, they're in the minority. And, of course, that's just on land use issues. And you know, as we've you know, heard today from yourself as a caller and from Jeff and Steve, it's local control is just being damaged nonstop at so many different levels. And it's a foundation of what make Wisconsin's democracy a leader in democracy. And we've got to get back to that.
And Steve Bowe, for the minority party in the legislature, local control is going to be an issue. But, you know, it seems like whoever's in the majority, it's hard when you're a legislator. If I can get a little more control, I'd like to have it. Is that going to be a temptation if you're elected and if the Democrats somehow were to take control in the legislature again?
But under that philosophy and under Republicans' philosophy, I mean, the way that they're going, what's the point of having town and county boards anymore? Because they've just usurped so much local control. I mean, we have great people that have been elected to serve. Their community has entrusted them with many decisions. And I have more faith in them to make the best decision for their community than, you know, somebody in Madison who doesn't know or live and work within that community. And so I am in full support of giving that control back to the locals, because who better to evaluate the pros and cons, the wants and needs of a community than those that live and work in that community? And you may not like everything that they do, but they're held accountable to the people that live there. And I believe that that is the best politics at the grassroots level.
Jeff Smith, you've been on both sides of this.
Yeah.
You were in town government. You were in the legislature. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to quote my friend Mike McCabe, who always likes to say, the Republican Party went from their define of local control is controlling the locals. And that's exactly what has happened. As a town chair, where I really cut my teeth, I really can appreciate town government, why it is important, why the closer you are to the needs of your constituency, you should trust that. And people are elected for a reason. And we need to respect people who are elected to town boards, city council, school boards, and get rid of these levy limits, allow them to do what they need to do. And by the way, Liz, I'll say that I was very much behind and responsible for the living wage ordinance that we passed in Eau Claire County, which then I was not surprised to and kind of expected it to happen that the state legislature would turn around and strike the line in the state law that allowed us to do that. So now it no longer can be enforced. They don't even want to give you the opportunity to raise people's expectations in life. And I think that's really awful. And it started with Doyle. I'm going to tell you, Doyle should never have bargained away the ability of local municipalities to raise minimum wage.
Let's move. I think we've got time probably for this call. And this is Alex from Plum City. Alex, thanks for waiting and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. You guys hear me?
Yep. You bet.
Awesome. So you already answered my question a little bit in terms of infrastructure and, you know, highways and stuff. So I guess my question would be, what is your plan for winning the election and especially engaging voters who may not have voted before?
Steve Bowe, good question. Let's start with you.
It's a very good question and a relevant question. I talked about the need for new leadership, and that's what I believe that I bring to this campaign and that I believe that I bring to this race. I'm out there every day after work talking with voters, doing doors, meeting with people, and that's where I get to hear about the meat and potatoes issues that really have an impact on people's life. You know, the roads and bridges that they travel and cross, you know, they understand that they're paying for it one way or another. They are either going to pay for good roads or they're going to pay the mechanic to fix their car because of the roads. They want their kid to go to a good school, have a great education, and have the opportunity for advanced education after. They want to be able to have good access to broadband internet and healthcare. We have great things, and so I just believe that I'm the right candidate to bring that new leadership and that different approach to be successful in the fall.
Jeff Smith, strategy.
Well, my strategy is the same as it always has been. I like to make myself as visible and available to everybody. Accessibility to their representative is really important. One thing that I do that's different than anybody else in Wisconsin probably is that I park my truck in the most visible, highly popular, highly traveled areas and open up my sign, says stop and talk to me. And I just started my day this morning that way, and that's what I like to start my day and end my day. So when you're trying to reach out to voters who may not otherwise feel like they're being represented, or they might not have it, or their vote doesn't count, I would like to give them that opportunity to stop, because it doesn't matter who's going to stop. I talk to them.
John Schultz, a few seconds remaining.
Yeah, as an elected official, I've delivered results to constituents on a range of issues, and you know, throughout the campaign, it's getting information out there to voters, talking to voters, hearing their concerns, but it's also about talking about insights on our problems and having ideas on these issues, and I bring that to the table.
Thank you to Jeff Smith, John Schultz, and Steve Bowe, the candidates in the 31st District Senate primary race, Senate District primary race, for joining us in the studio today and engaging in our conversation for the past hour. Molly Dove and Catherine Thomas produced this hour. Thanks also to on-air producer Mort Cypress and to Cora Lang and Kate Spranger for promoting the discussion. And thanks to Rich Kramer for that report from the Foxconn announcement. Next week, we host our final primary candidate debate before heading into our series of candidate discussions leading up to the November general election. This is The West Side. I'm Dean Kallenbach.